It's Mpumalanga Space Music and Raz FM with Wale, Angels featuring Chris Brown on that one. And you're still tuned in to Raz FM Evenings with your radio madam, Fezile Manzini. Now, this evening, I'm having a conversation with someone that I believe will help us, especially if you are co-parenting or if ungumdali, because in as much as we're going into a season where we're going to be happy, we're going to be spending time with family and loved ones, we need to understand our responsibility as parents still remains. Our children are our responsibility. They're not the responsibility of ifemeli. Now, the festive season is a time to be with family, I agree, but that comes with its challenges because you can choose friends, but not family. However, the responsibility to ensure that children are safe even when surrounded by family still lies with the parents. But within the family, there are different characters. We do have people who have been convicted of violating, others accused of violating children, even within our extended families. So we are figure when ushimvana ngobujakekyo groova uthi hayi bonke bantwana baphelele kuvakashe wonke umuntu, the shady characters nalaba labanetinginga laba right nalaba ngasi right kusasa mase kuvela inginga sothwena I cannot be held accountable as a parent because begasekhaya. One thing that has remained very prevalent in a lot of children that have been sexually violated is that it is never someone who is a stranger. Ngaso sonke isikhathi akubi stranger. It is always someone they trust. It is always someone within the family, a friend, webatali. So that is why we're having this conversation this evening with Miss Ndeboheng Likuleni, who's a social worker and community development worker at Child Welfare. Good evening, sis.
Hello, how are you?
I am good, good. And you?
I'm awesome. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, welcome to Raz FM Evenings and thank you for availing yourself. I know, Gusi, you do a lot of work in ensuring that our children are taken care of during the day. So by now, you probably would want to be resting.
Anything to get the information out there.
Now, the first question is, if a parent is concerned about their child's safety and well-being while visiting the other parent, do they have the right to deny the other parent visitation? And I say this because in a festive season, more especially for parents that are separated but co-parenting, there's going to be an expectation that children will be traveling to go visit the other side or the other family. So, umangabe mhlambe is mtaling, it's eish mine, I don't have a problem, but now I know for a fact Uti, the other parent is not like me when it comes to being or protective of the child. Do I have a right to refuse Uti, mdwana ahambe ayovakasha?
Okay, I will not give you a very direct answer, but I will make this a very brief explanation. As social workers, we have something called a parental plan. This is something that is set up by either family advocate in the children's court, or we do it ourselves as social workers. It's a free service. And within a parental plan, you are able to put guidelines with every detail of an upbringing of a child based on the social life, discipline, and it's an agreement between two parents on how they want to bring up a child, even in their separated environment, so that a child a different environment or a big difference where they end up having a favorite parent based on leniency and things like that. So with a parental plan, there is a part where it talks about who the child can be exposed to and what they can be exposed to. However, when we're going to talk about denying a child from or denying a parent from visiting or being visited by their child, we have to look at what are the reasons for a parent being concerned about a child visiting the other parent. Do these reasons actually harm a child? And sometimes when parents have been separated on bad terms, there sometimes is cases of being spiteful, controlling, and malicious. And this is usually occurring within issues of gender-based violence, where that is what caused the separation of parents. So sometimes the one partner will try and control or be malicious in how they want to bring up the child and use the child as a tool to fight the other partner and try and control the other partner. So when a parent is concerned about a child's upbringing on the other side of the family or with the other parent, they have to contact social workers so that social workers within the area can go and take a visit and assess, and also go to the school and speak to the child in a safe environment to check whether this these concerns are actually true, or if this is just out of something that can be discussed between the parents.
Now, what are the red flags that parents should not ignore when a child is visiting someone? Because also, I want to take away this mentality of using a festive season. You forget that you're a parent, you're going to have a good time as long as what to sele na sesi na auntie or na babo ake, overlooking the fact that if anything happens, utotsini ngoba you were not aware of ukuthi vele uhleti kahle lo munye umntwana uyakhala uma ngabe mhlambe bamshiya athi hayi vele lo uyatefa kanti mntwana it's a lot deeper than that. So what are the red flags that parents should not ignore when a child is visiting someone, whether it is family or a friend or the other parent?
All right, so usually because I'm going to mainly focus on the child, not to drive away from your question. A parent needs to build a good relationship with their child to notice if there is any red flags, because sometimes as family members, we do not see the perpetrators within our family or within our social circle. So the child is usually the first person that we have to note of if there are any changes. We have good relationship with our children in order to identify these changes. There are short-term red flags and there are long-term red flags. In terms of short-term red flags, we'll find mood swings. Suddenly, they are suddenly secretive. They might be hiding their body because something might have happened to them physically or sexually. And suddenly, there's extreme privacy that the child has in order to hide, because there is some sort of shame when an abuse or some sort of abuse has happened to them. It's automatic that they shame and you want to hide it because you are not sure if it's something normal. And then in terms of long-term red flags, you'll find things such as a changed behavior in the child, in their conduct or their character or personality. And this is where a close relationship with a child really is important, because you are able to pinpoint suddenly they are too extreme when it comes to their social behavior, or they are suddenly too quiet. They don't socialize. Sometimes you'll find that when the child is traumatized, they are bedwetting. So in other cases, but they use the toilet in the bedroom. So you find things like that. Even the language, or sometimes you look at how are they violent, are they aggressive, are they displaying any behaviors that are seemingly testing the limits and experimenting with the violence that might have occurred to them. So I'm not saying let's allow children to be around family members so that, and then we only see it when it's late. We are saying these are the signs that you see in a child. However, as a parent, it's very important to know that we cannot trust every parent. We cannot trust every our child. We have to see within Ganeti Ugupi. We have to be sure of the people that we are surrounding with. And then we have to be very strict and managing on how we want our child to be in other places as well. And make sure they are sitting long along, they are playing. We have to monitor and make sure at a certain time. And be strict, because it's holiday time, they are kidnapping kids, they are doing whatever all the way out there, even within our families, not far away, even within our families, even at a family gathering, these things happen. We've had cases such as that. So I just want to make sure we are not only just managing and protecting lomntwana lana, but let's also keep a very close eye on bantwana bethu, because at a certain age, somewhere, somehow, a child has experienced some sort of an abuse or an assault. So we have to learn children very well.
Now, with you having mentioned, a parent must play a supervising role. Yes, I'm protected, but no mum negative freedom. You must understand, mduana, agabi completely free and out of sight. Fanelum supervisor from time to time, even when it's within the confines of a family home. Now, umangabe sekwendekile ukuthi kukhona lokwendekile. Can a parent equally be held accountable for anything that happens to their child, even if they were not involved? Like in cases where yebo sile bekavakashe kagogo besikhona, sekuyendeka ukuthi umntwana uviolatiwe, uviolatwe ngumuntu who's a family member, but I did not know anything about this. And mhlambe I've never left my child with that specific individual, but uthole a chance somehow ngoba mvana bekakhona. Can I also find myself in trouble with the law?
All right. So I like the wording that you put, Wusi. It's based on, do you know as a parent? Because if you don't know as a parent, you are just as innocent as Mbwana is. Mm. And if Lenzaba Utula, what are you doing to bring justice to the child?
Mm.
That's where we very detailed about that part. Because sometimes, or rather on most occasions, a parent, sometimes it's the other parent. I don't want to talk about, now I'm being gender specific, but I'm talking about the cases that we've received. We see the male will violate the child, the father, the uncle, the mother will find out. Sometimes because they are trying to protect their relationship, or they are trying to protect the monetary part of the relationship, because maybe or have no means of support, where there are organizations that actually help with that part. But going back to the question, we see, are you held accountable as a parent if even if you are not involved? Yes, if you knew, you have to face the law. You have to face the facts, just as much as if there was a crime that happened in your neighborhood and then when Abu Kona, you saw the crime, but you are with information from the law and from justice to take its course, you will be held accountable should it be found. And then we have this thing where families have started doing this thing of protecting the perpetrator. They'll start talking about, we will have a family meeting about this. That is very dangerous, because Mbwana has to see a consequence of limalaguake. They have to see justice being served to them, because if there's no justice being served to them, it's either something, it becomes normalized, and this will be a behavior that they might mirror in the future, especially with boys. They might mirror this behavior that happened to them in the future. And in other cases, Mbwana becomes, they start having behavioral problems, they drop out of school, they start taking drugs and experimenting and testing the limits of their well-being, because something has happened to them. And at other times, abaki abakumbuli, but in most occasions they do. A child has to see justice being served on them. They have to see consequences of perpetrators. We need to stop as families, Lendo Yoguti, we are protecting
So mangabe, just to get clarity for someone who's listening, mntwana ukhulumile ukuthi this happened nathi nini ndohlala phansi ningimndeni kunokuthi wena umthathe immediately aye kuma healthcare professionals kuze ukuthi bakhone kwenda what they need to do to gather evidence. Sekuyendeka esikoleni mem so uyayibamba indaba mntwana uyasho ukuthi kwendeke lokhu nge-festive season. Uma batobopha baqala ngalomntali and then the perpetrator.
This is where we come in and say the term social worker, but remove abandonment. This is where it comes in. We don't just remove a child. Typically, we'll find a child, especially if the perpetrator is living in the house, and we still need to investigate. If it is confirmed, especially if it is confirmed, we do call the police. It has to go to the police station. It has to go to the court. It has to go through the justice system. It's very important that then, as soon as you hear of this matter, and I did forget to mention it, thank you so much. As soon as you hear this matter, you call the police, you call the social workers. They are there to help the child. They are there to help the system work. So we cannot keep quiet when someone has violated Mbwana. We cannot keep quiet when someone, or we heard about something. We have to get evidence. So that it is proven in the court, in the children's court, which is, this is what has happened to them. And then Akona Mbwana has to get the necessary help, where they go through psychology. There are organizations such as Childline, where they deal with trauma counseling for Mbwana that has gone through such an abuse, either sexual, physical, or neglect. They are there for these kind of services.
Now, for parents that say, okay, I know already there's an arrangement, whether we are going or to the other parent, how long can or should a parent go without communicating with their child who's away from them?
All right. So now we're going to go back to the parental plan. The parental plan, it has strict stipulations on contact, time, how long, things like that. Because remember, this is an agreement between the two parents. So every parent has the right to access and communicate with their child. Mm. But in the case of gender-based violence, since we are talking about that, it obviously has to be within the bounds of the child's best interest and child protection. Mm. If this occurred between parents that were violent to each other, but the child was not involved, mm. it is okay for the parents to continue communicating with them. But obviously, it has to be strict. Sometimes the mdwana has enough phone, so obviously mm. they have to use a third party that's been nominated in the parental plan, or there's some sort of agreement. We'll see at this time, now 6 o'clock, between 6 and 7 o'clock, nana uyokhuluma na papa or mama, or gogo, or whatever the case may be, as per agreement.
Mm-hmm.
There is a strict stipulation on the time. So mdwana, there is a within the section, the Children's Act, in the chapter 3, where throughout the chapter 3, it talks about these things where mdwana can be contacted, but what under what circumstances, what agreement was made. And if the child was the one who was violated against, either the mother or the father, but if the child is the one who's received the violence from the parent, best believe they are not allowed to contact mdwana until the court has decided on how they're going to deal with the parent in terms of rehabilitation and in terms of helping the parents to not do that again. Mm. So it might be parental skills, it might be counseling, it might be even, because on most occasions we have substance abuse matters as well that to play with regards to abuse. So these things will be stipulated by the children's court as per recommendation of the social worker as well, based on what they've seen and what they've discovered within the assessment and investigation.
Mm. Now, you did mention, Gutsi, in cases where batali bahlukene because of GBV, bebashayana, begnalo violent, vele, labo bantu labo nakufanele bacommunicate kuba likhulu. So if a parent takes a child by force to visit them without the consent of the other parent, is it kidnapping or is it not? Because we've heard of situations where they said, uma ngabe uyavela ku birth certificate, noma ungathi wena udane emaphoyisa uthi umthethe mntwana, uma khipha certificate avela lapha athi ngingumtali, then it defeats the whole purpose. So in cases where we are talking about bantu lebekuliwa kune domestic violence, mhlambe make vele is not comfortable nokuthi umntwana ayovakashela babe ngoba sekunalo umnye umfati and uyati ukuthi iyaqhubeka nakula that relationship lempilo bebayiphila nabo. So uyamthatha babe ngenkani mntwana kanadi mbahla kanalutho. Is it kidnapping or is it not?
Yes, it is kidnapping. However, we need to talk about this term that we call primary caregiver. So automatically, because the mother is usually the one who gives birth to the child, automatically by law, primary caregiver is usually the mother. However, this can be challenged based on the circumstances between parents and what has happened if a child has been removed from the care or if the father has applied for parental rights, because as I said, Chapter 3 in the Children's Act talks about parental rights, and Enabo fathers are also having rights and responsibilities towards their child. So a primary caregiver is the main parent who does the decision, who is the one who looks after the child as primary, this is the parent that is known, which is Vele Mdwana Uhlala Anaye. So if a child is removed from the care of this parent by another parent without the permission or consent, especially if there is a parental plan in place, and this is why I keep on emphasizing the parental plan, I'll explain it now. If a child is removed from the primary parent, best believe it is called kidnapping. Especially there's nothing to look after lomntwana nakaya khona. There's no clothes, there's no food, there's no all those things. And then even other cases, we have cases where a parent will take the child on a random day of the week, which is ruining the stability of mntwana. I'm talking mntwana, I'm like the school in mntwana because babona mtaluabo, they don't think of it as anything else. They're just going to gapapa or gamama. But they, by law, it is considered as kidnapping because it is without the permission and the agreement of the primary caregiver. So it is very important for fathers to go to the court. And if they want to be accessing mntwana, they have to go and apply for rights of unmarried fathers. There's that word called rights of unmarried fathers. Mm. And then if they were married and they separated, it's called custody, and that's discussed with the family advocates in the court. But we're talking about the rights of unmarried fathers, where a father can step up and say, I want mntwana, and I want to have equal parental rights and primary rights over mntwana, and let us go to a parental plan, because this parental plan protects everyone. It's not just about the child itself, but it also protects both parents on how they bring up the child. It protects them with visits. How long can a child visit? How often? What these things? So that there's none of these rules are broken. Should these rules be broken, that's when we take it to court. So yeah, sometimes we even have cases, I'm sorry for going so long. Sometimes we have cases where the parent maybe they were a bit late when it comes to picking up the child. And then suddenly they want to take it to court. We have to be practical about it. Some emergencies do happen. Let's be okay. Operate with one another, because we are looking at the best interest of the child. The upbringing of the child is about the child. It's not about us. But we who brought this child into this world, we have to protect mntwana as much as possible. We have to make sure that they grow up in a stable environment. Not nendo ukuthi simane siyamthatha mntwana ngoba senilwile as batali. Ngiyamthatha mntwana nami because angisamfuni ahlale laphayana. Or things like that. We are not doing justice in the upbringing and helping mntwana. So let us call.
No, thank you very much. Because of time, I'm going to have to cut you there. It's quite a lot of information and helpful information at that. Thank you for availing yourself, and please do enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you so much for joining me, for letting me join the show today. Thank you so much.
All right. That was Ms. Ntebogeng Lukuleni, who's a social worker and community development worker at Child Welfare. So, ungatswena mntwana mntwana mphule mthetho 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 uyalandzelwa. It's back to Mpumalanga's best music with Lapiki Dube. Remember me, Kuraza FM.